Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have about an hour to try and turn an idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I'm the voice in your head, Freddie Wong, and your host.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm a screenwriter, and I'm just so excited, guys, because we're going to graduate, and then we're probably not going to see each other after the summer, but you guys are like my best friends.
Aw, thanks, Will. I'm Matt Arnold, God-fearing Christian, first and foremost, writer-director second, and we have a very special episode today.
Good news, guys. I got an early decision to Vassar.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I got my whole life ahead of me. Let's call up a limousine and go to prom together.
So today on Story Break, we are going to do Limo Scream, which is a very dumb movie idea I had like 7 years ago as a joke that I just like the name a lot, and we are all very nervous to do it. And we're trying to do a short episode. So
let's talk about what it has going for it. Number one, pun title.
Great title.
Very good. Pun title. Yes. Two, ride tie-in opportunities. You go in Universal, you go wherever is, you could do a ride with
limousine
this one.
To see Limo Scream. That's very
good. A Fandango Instagram tie-in. Very good. This is going to be a first for us. This is a slasher flick, which we actually aren't really super familiar with.
How many slasher films have you guys seen? Because I'm trying to think if collectively we can get up to
double digits.
I've seen The Screams.
So that's like six of them, right?
Now, is that all? Is that a series of movies called Scream or a movie called The Screams? You've seen all of them?
Yeah, Scream 1, 2, and 3.
There's probably more than three,
I've seen,
I think.
I've seen the original Scream trilogy before they did the prequel trilogy.
First bad sign, we don't know how many Scream movies there are.
Okay, really quick. So that's
let's get going. The clock starts right now.
Okay, just so people know what the hell we're talking about. The only thing that there is about Limo Scream is the idea is that it's a bunch of kids on prom night, and the limousine driver is a murderous slasher flick bad guy. He picks them up, and he starts torturing them in the limousine, and they can't escape the limousine, and it was a single location sort of murder festival.
It's a horror movie on wheels.
Yeah, you know, the water bottle is poison, and one of the kids starts choking to death, and they're like, oh my God, can he pull over? And the child locks are on, and then, you know, they try to grab him, and then that little divider comes up, but it's fast like a guillotine, and it cuts a dude in half, and now the half of his body's in the limousine. They try to break out, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, make that last for 90 minutes.
So, well, maybe we should start with, like, what are good... I mean, yeah, you go the character route stuff. But I feel like a slasher that is about the kills and the, you know, and the physical sort of gags in there, as opposed to, like, you know, necessarily character development or what have you, right? I feel a lot of slasher films kind of, in a sitcom-esque way, kind of end where they begin. You know, a lot of horror kind of does this thing where it's like, yes, the horror is conquered temporarily, but, you know, there's the dream sequence at the end of Carrie, and, you know, there's the thing where it's like, oh, maybe it's not. Evil is still here.
I mean,
we've all seen
Cabin in the Woods does a good job of explaining, like, how slasher films work in terms of structure and characters. Like that's why I said
how do slasher films work in terms of structure and characters?
Yeah, so they're weirdly like fairy tales in the most classical sense, in terms of fairy tales being fables, morals, moral lessons. So you always have this group of characters which represent various vices and sins, right? That's why you have the dumb blonde, the, you know, the boy
jock
who is stupid and doesn't respect women, the, you know, and then it's all, and then it all comes down to the
that's
really
a very
gross,
specific one, Matt.
And then, you know, then of course you have like the kind of very reductive, like virgin stereotype of like the pure one, which is usually the person who lives in the end, mm-hmm. for being the good person, and the slasher acts as like vengeance, as God, as death, as whatever it is. And it is usually a group of kids go out and do something, whether it's a prom night or party, late night drinking or whatever it is, and then they are punished for being out away from authority and civilization, whether it's a campsite, and they are slowly attacked.
All right, I have an idea.
Very rarely do slashers start with, you know, study hall.
Yeah.
So you do, I think you do a class thing, mm-hmm. with this. I remember I went to a super preppy private school in Denver. Yeah, that's right. Will Campos, elitist Hollywood prick. I remember like prom is like this really opulent thing. Mm-hmm. And like I think inevitably what I'm immediately driven to, like especially in terms of like who's this limo driver and like what is like kind of gnawing at him, that like let's say it's a super rich school. It's these kids that, again, it's like one of these giant Humvee limos, like, you know, like you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Go everyone, stretch.
Super stretch limo. You go out. You're obnoxious. You're as teenager. You're super self absorbed, and you're kind of this precocious naivete about how the rest of the world works. You go to a restaurant. Again, it's like prom. Like you go out for dinner, right? And it's like your first time eating out as a huge group at a fancy restaurant or even a semi fancy restaurant, and you're loud and it's a pain in the ass, and you probably don't tip very well, and like the waiter.
And you're trying to do math in terms of, do we tip this guy?
So would he split up the check? And then, you know, it's like a bunch of teenagers are going to stiff you on the tip. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but bear with me. The thought that left in my head would be, you have the limo driver.
Yeah.
He has like, it's like an I don't know what you did last summer. Like,
yeah.
He had a daughter who got cyberbullied and, like, you know, maybe committed suicide. Or you do like, she got killed in a drunk driving accident by these kids in the back of the car, or like one of them or something like that. And like, he's getting his revenge. And it's like, you do like, it's also like, he's the anonymous, he's the face of like these sort of like, to these kids, like the anonymous, you know, working
service
class,
worker, or
they don't fucking give a shit about, and then they're resentful for something like that. Like, don't treat people with respect.
I don't
know.
That.
Is that just something like that, some kind of angle there?
That's an interesting hook there, yeah.
That gives them like
a righteousness to his.
I think
here's the thing though. Because I always think about, what is the message of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Especially with something like this, where it is like literally you are. It's like one thing when it's just you're doing a goofy comedy or whatever, but like when you do a movie where people are literally being punished with life and death, every kill you're making is a statement, right? So I'm always like, ooh, yeah, and you do, he's this like disgruntled, you know, service worker. And then you think like that's an edgy thing that's like anti-capitalist, but then like, aren't you also just saying that like working class people are violent, deranged lunatics or something like that? Like, doesn't it kind of cut both ways? I never know how to kind of solve that. Like, because it's like, you want to have like bad guys that are getting their just desserts. Not bad guys. You want to have like, you don't want to, I don't know. I'm just trying to.
The thought, I mean, it's these movies are all violent and kind of vile to a degree. So it's like, how indulgent. But I think there's something, I mean, I think there's a reason why horror movies are as long-lasting and as loved as they are. Like, we want to see that. We want to kind of test the boundaries of what's right and wrong. And,
to attack this from a different angle, because I was actually...
I had an idea for the bad guy.
Go ahead.
This is maybe gross, but they're all kind of gross.
Coming in with the gross idea.
I was just thinking, like, okay, especially if you're going to do... there's that movie Cock Blockers. Like, that's just the extreme version of that.
It's
what if you do
Blockers.
Okay, well, Blockers with a rooster, or as some call it, a cock picture in front of it. So
it's called Rooster Blockers.
Coming out with John Cena.
Next week on Story Break, John Cena's
Rooster Blockers. That's actually pretty good. You do like a fucked up version of Briar Rose. It's like, it is the dad is the limo driver. She doesn't realize it. It is this dad who is like, my girl's being, is going to go with all these bad kids. And this is his twisted lesson of why all these kids are sinful and wrong. And he murders them all. And when she comes face to face with the limo driver at the end, it's his dad. He's like, don't you see?
And he doesn't take her to
the prom.
Don't you
see why you're the good one and these are all the bad ones? And she's like, fuck you. And she kills her dad. She fucking kills her dad.
No, much better. He doesn't take her to prom. He takes her to one of those like dad daughter like renewal vow things that they have in the South.
Yes, because here's a villain that I would love to take aim at is creepy, like possessive, like father daughter masculine fucking
like
whatever.
It's okay, my son has sex, but nobody better touch my girl.
Or it's like, you hear like, this is like a joke that like again, like people like, they're like, it'll be like the dad will post a selfie before prom night with the son, with the guy who's taking the daughter out, and the joke will be like, just remember, whatever you do to my daughter, I'll do to you.
Yeah,
so it's like, if you have sex with my daughter, I'm going to rape you. Is literally the subtext of that joke, which is vile. Right, it is like the okay.
Well, and by the way, which is in, it's in so many movies now too, which is like, oh, here's the dad. It's like, it's a way of getting your nuts off as in the masculine figure, right? It was just in, what was it? Den of Thieves, which Matt and I saw for some reason. But yeah, they do the same. And then Bad Boys 2 has the similar thing, you know?
Oh yeah, Bad Boys 2 has that whole horrible messed up scene when they're just pulling guns on that kid to terrify him. It's like, that's hilarious.
Because you can also make a twist where, by the way, we're of course, like, because I was thinking, like, how can you mix this up? It's like, it would also be creepy. It's like, they're like, where is this guy taking us? We can't get out. Some of us are dead. And then all of a sudden the car just stops and there's nobody in the driver's seat anymore, and they're just in the middle of like a desert, and there's nothing around them, and they're like, what do we do? Can we run? Can we not? And then like he's just, again, he's just playing with them. He's like picking them off with like a sniper rifle from like a bit of the way or whatever. I don't know. He just messed up. But like, the idea that she realizes it's her dad at the end, and he's like, you should thank me. Like, yeah. I was looking out for you. I didn't kill them until I saw that. Like, yeah, she was a slut. He was an asshole. Like, so I killed
you
them.
You are who you, the company you keep. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would like, yeah, just let the girl fucking kill her dad at the end. Just fucking right in the face.
Well, you know what it is? It's got to be some reversal where she's figured it out partway through the movie and she's like, okay, I have a way of she realizes what it is, and then she kills her dad, and then like her boyfriend has like managed to survive. They faked his death to make him think, you know, to draw him out, and then they fuck in the limousine, baby.
It ends with her fucking the hot jock in front of her dying dad.
Whoa! Whoa! Okay. Oh man.
As right, Van Halen blares into the night.
All right, let's move back from that.
Let's just back
just so we could dive right back in, because that ending is fantastic. Okay.
We have found why Will does not write slasher movies. I'm like, oh geez, I don't know, guys. I really like that. And then actually, because I could see doing like there's alcohol in the limo, right? Yeah. And it's like that. It's just like a little booze lock or whatever, and they pop it open. It's locked, but they're like, "Oh shit, there's fucking booze in here." And then a couple of the kids drink it, and it's poisoned. Like, so you do like your first death.
I like that he locked it and they break into
it. It's a transgression. Yeah, it's a transgression. So yes, and I like that he has each kid. There's something wrong with them.
Yeah,
and so he's gonna, you know, like once that comes out, that's gonna be their why they're bad friends. Why, you know, she shouldn't be hanging out with them. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
God, there's almost like this weird religious imagery. There's weird religious imagery, right? It's like the Garden of Eden. It's like, yes, all these delights that you could partake in, but you will be punished.
Could you do like you do one of the kids is like always on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Those millennials, those Gen Zs. You do this guy is like, do you ever see Law Abiding Citizen?
No.
Like, they did this crazy thing with Gerard Butler. I'm just picturing Gerard Butler from Law Abiding Citizen as the dad in this, because it was like he was like this like former special ops dude, and who was like his whole thing was that he created death gizmos for the army, basically.
Okay.
But you would do like this guy's rigged up all these traps, right? So you would do like one of them is like the phone, and it's like this selfie camera.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like he supercharged the flash so that it's looking like burner retinas out or something like that. Or it's gonna it's rigged up like a flashbang or something like that.
I think you want the first few things to be something that nobody would think anything. They'd be like, oh my God, your phone's broken. She's like, oh, I can't see.
Yeah.
Oh, my prom night's ruined. And it's like, it's all like small stuff at first. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know. Like he put, I'm a very not a good pranker. It's like he put coloring dye on the seats and the kid's like, my dress is ruined. And the limousine driver's like, ah, this is funny. I'm going to murder them later.
That's your prank.
This is quite delightful so far. But you know, you want that slow build. Like, I don't know. It's just like, there's a
dead. Yeah.
I was just trying to get to a little thing also I could see. It's like, I'm trying to think, that she finds out it's the father and she like runs back. I'm just imagining the thing where she comes running back home and the door opens and her mom's like, hello, honey. How was the night? And then the dad comes around the corner. He's like, of course both parents are in on this. This is like a crazy hell family that she's got to escape or whatever. I'm trying to think of like what the ending is. Like what she can
like
burn down.
She calls the Uber to get out of there.
Yeah.
And the Uber picks her husband. It's, oh no, it's her mom in the Uber.
Or she can like burn down the house or something. I don't know.
Is this just cock blockers, but we made it a horror movie?
I mean, maybe.
Is that cheating?
No, we haven't seen. First of all, Limo Scream came out before cock blockers. Okay. Second of all, we don't know what is in Rooster Blockers starring John Cena.
But
yet.
It's like the parents, they want to stop the kids from having sex.
Yeah,
so
but the moral, but I guarantee you that the moral of that one's going to be like, hey, parents, like, accept your kids.
I mean, that's going to be what the moral of this one.
Well, no, this is
kill your
parents.
Burn it to the ground. Rock and roll 24/7, baby. We will never die. We are young. It is on us to murder the old generation. Take this world. It's ours. That's the moral of this one. I don't think chicken blockers are gonna go that far.
I also think that the fact that it's pretty much a single location, that a horror movie does make it very different.
Yeah.
And it is, they are in direct like confrontation with this murderer.
Okay.
It feels like
it does feel like
blockers is more like a night out with a
It's going to cut back and forth to like antics with the parents, and they're always going to be one step behind, and it's going to be such a fun time.
I think we're cheating right now because I think we're totally breaking John Cena's rooster blockers that we're doing next week.
That's true. Let's leave that. Let's leave next week for next week.
Okay.
Oh my God. Sorry. Sorry. So at one point, they're like, we got to call for help. So my phone's not working. It's like, I know. I can live stream to my Instagram. And it just becomes this like live, and then it's a live stream one take of just like,
oh,
carnal.
Live stream kill. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. And he gets killed.
Yeah.
On a live stream.
Oh, yeah.
And it becomes the news, and they're like, there's a limousine around here called the Limo Scream.
News at 11.
You know what you could do as well as like your first kill is definitely that limo driver. Like, unsuspecting limo driver, and then the black gloved hands, like in a Giallo movie, just come around his neck.
You do the kids find, like, you know, they're trying to get out the back seat.
Oh, and they find like his head.
And they realize the limo's driver was murdered, and they're like, oh my God, this murdering limo driver is not a limo driver after all. He's just a murdering man driving the limo. Oh no.
Could you write that one down? Because that's going directly into the script.
That should be the entire, like, you know, like when in trailers they do, like, you know, like, heroes are made in America. It's like, the limo driver is
the murdering limo driver is not a limo driver after all. He's just a murderer driving a limo. Okay, who's this main character? It's a girl on prom night.
She's a prom night, and she's I got a boyfriend. Oh, we're gonna have sex. I'm nervous about it. The dad finds the birth control was all this. Oh, dad, don't worry about it. Okay, remember we have a purity ring. That's the metaphor later in the movie that's gonna come back, and you're gonna kill me with it. And then all her friends are like, hey, we're a bunch of teen stereotypes
but like modernized and millennial.
But modernized, because like I've got a blue streak of my hair, and like, you know, in this upside down world, the nerds are the cool ones.
I represent sloth, and by sloth I mean playing video games.
God, boy, here we go on this adventure, something unpredictable. And then, like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, you just proved my point. This movie writes itself.
This movie writes itself. My like, God.
The bad version of this movie.
We're halfway there.
The bad version of this movie writes
itself. $40 million box office. Okay. Who is this girl?
I have a good name for the girl.
Okay.
Penny Parker.
That's right.
That's a good name for her.
Okay.
Thank you, Penny, for offering your name to the story break.
Sorry you wound up in a slasher movie. You're going to survive. You're going to be the final girl in this slasher movie.
You're going to kill a dude.
Just sorry in advance for anything that is said about you or done to you in the middle of discovering what happens in the slasher movie.
It's a slasher movie. Did you go to prom?
I did not.
Why not?
Look at me.
Yeah, if I see a strapping fucking smoking stack of a man.
I went to an all-boys school, but I did not find a person to go to prom with.
My school was small enough that everybody went to prom.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. Mm-hmm. Did you go to prom, Will?
Yeah, I went to prom.
Nice.
With who?
I went with my girlfriend from camp. She flew out. We went to prom.
Hey,
there you go. All right.
And then junior year prom. I went junior year prom. My mom listens to this podcast. Freddie.
How fun was prom for you, Will? Here, no, sorry, that was inappropriate. I just want to ask, if you were in this movie, would you die or survive at the end of this movie?
Will is cowering from the microphone right now.
I hate both of you.
I didn't say anything. I wasn't for the record. I didn't say anything. You misidentified me earlier. I was Matt, 100% Matt.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Moving on. What I was going to say, I can't remember now. There is this very Hollywood version of what a prom night is like. Could you do like the more grounded, like?
Well, as like, I didn't go to prom, the only version I know
is a lot of Super Smash Brothers.
Is the Hollywood version.
My version of prom has a lot of Smash Brothers.
Okay.
No,
I'm
but, hear what
like,
you're
but
saying,
again, here's what I was saying. Yeah, like, in terms of this girl, like, I just feel like the most obvious thing is she's going to lose her virginity.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't want to do that. Like, yeah. I just feel like every other fucking horror movie does that. Like, I think there's an irony to that the dad misunderstands
the
daughter.
He's coming from this old school way
also,
of thinking.
Yeah.
Well, also, that's kind of interesting. I don't know anything about how the young kids do the deed anymore, but is prom night like the... Is it really?
Well,
like,
so I will say this.
Wait till prom night to. I feel like people are boning down way before prom
night.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll put it this way. Let's put it this way. We have digital devices where we have kids sending, you know, naked pics to each other far in advance of prom night. Like, I feel like the way sexuality is like has changed in terms of a high school experience, one that has been depicted by Hollywood and is understood since like maybe the 80s
yeah.
to even what we have, even to now, is probably vastly, vastly different. I mean, you got kids who have sex offender things because they have, like, you know, child porn charges because their girlfriend sent them. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different world that we're in, guys.
I feel like I read something that, like, again, it's like it's one of those classic things, like, adults are always like, teens are fucking at an alarming rate, and like it's like actually gone down. Like,
yeah, no. I think like that there's a lot more responsibility.
They're like, well, with the kids with their porn and their videos and their all their sexuality that I don't understand, but it's like the actual amount of sex that they're having is really not any different than it has been for years.
Which gets to kind of, I think, what you were saying, which is I like the idea of, like, if it's a prom group and from her perspective, it's not even like a bunch of boyfriend girlfriends. It's just like, no, these are just a bunch of friends who are all take. It's like a group, big group thing, and the dad is unable to see it that way. You know what I mean?
Okay, I Google searched, do teens fuck on prom night?
Was that on the company internet?
That was on the company internet. Oh, so here's the thing.
Oh jeez.
So yeah, sex from kids in grades 9 to 12 has dropped in the lowest since 1988. We're about to see how prude I am. In 1988, 55% of teens had sex,
mm-hmm.
and now 46.8%. Half the people I knew in high school were having sex. So much.
When do they have time to play Smash Bros. On GameCube? Yeah.
But how can they have sex and also get good at Link?
Like, I would have, all honesty, my guess would have been about, like, 25%. Like, 20% would have been, like, my
I was about
number.
To say.
You should have made us guess, because I would have been, like, 14%. I
yeah,
think
okay, so you would not
head.
Have thought no. 46 to, like, so 50% of kids have sex.
I'm an old man now, because I'm like, that's too many kids having sex.
Quick.
What are you doing?
All the kids listening, stop having sex. Too many. Like, 14% of you are cool. Like, you can have sex, but this is too many.
Half of our teenage listeners are having sex right now.
Okay.
Stop it.
But... But it does seem like, anyways, what I was getting to is it does seem like prom is not a uniquely special time to lose your virginity.
Yeah.
There's no metrics to prove that, and it doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, the metric of 46% seems to be a pretty strong
indicator.
Yeah,
they're doing it already.
Yeah, I mean, like, you ain't waiting for
shit. I guess what I was getting to is that the thing where it's like, she's clear, like, her dad just doesn't know that she's not a virgin.
Yeah.
Like, she's already, like, he's put it in his head that he's got to stop.
Well, he's
just found out that, like, she and her boyfriend or girlfriend are having sex.
That would be fucked up. That would be really fucked up is that you find out it's her and he's like, I did this all because you're pure, unless you want to tell me something. And it's because he was doing this to kill her because he knows that she already broke the promise.
All right. We got to get back to the girl and the kids.
I mean,
what do they want to do on prom night? They're just going to go out and have a good time? Like, what's the inter-character drama?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's going to be ultimately what's important, right? Prom is inherently romantic. You're like, do you know...
Is there a crush on someone that they need to say?
Maybe she's got a crush on someone and she hasn't, you know...
Yeah, maybe she's going alone.
She could be going with her best friend, like, mm-hmm. Lady Bird style.
Okay.
Or it's like she's going with someone as friends, but then she likes someone else in the group, mm-hmm. who's going with their girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Take your pick. I don't understand teens
or
slasher movies, so I'm pretty much zero for zero here.
How do teens do teens? How do teens teen?
They're going to ditch prom.
Oh.
Ooh.
They are, and that's like the first thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to go ditch prom to go to a college party.
Okay.
Or something like that, right? Because they're all the cool kids who think prom is lame. So there's an anti-prom party, yeah. right? Like the cool kids hosting, right?
Like that classic episode
and
of the
again,
in high school.
Oh,
and
you
again,
know what you can do? You could do it so it's like some kid that's like, yeah, like my rich parents' vacation home across state lines or in Canada or something where we can drink and all that.
And again, you do like the dad is terrified that this anti-prom is going to be like
an orgy.
Caligula's Rome, essentially, right? And like anti-prom is like Matt and his friends drink Miller Lite and play Smash Brothers till 2 a.m. and go to bed or whatever, right?
There's wine
like,
coolers, but
it's,
yes.
It's a bunch of Which wine cooler pairs best with like a Kirby? Do you think? What flavor?
I remember these so specific. They're these cheap wine coolers from Pavilions. They were strawberry. One was strawberry, and one was like a daiquiri, like a strawberry daiquiri flavor. And one was like a lemon.
God.
And we drank those. And we also did a test to test our reflexes.
Oh my
so
God.
As an icon, we got drunker, we could see how much our reflexes were dropping.
Wait, was the test playing the
tell me there was a chart. Tell me there was a
chart. It's a chart that you draw on a piece of paper, and it's like a ruler, and you drop it, and then you grab the paper as it slips through your fingers, and how quickly you grabbed it is how fast your reflexes are. So then at the end of the night, we'd be like, yo, this is unfair, Badgley. Your reflexes are better than my reflexes, so I need a handicap.
This is absolutely going to be in the movie. And then you do the gamer
nerd.
That
was my problem, everybody.
The gamer nerd who got drunk, the limo dad, is like, this is going to be a test of your reflexes. Because he was doing the stupid reflex game earlier, and it's like, can you cut through this thing fast enough? To, like, whatever it's going to be. Yeah.
I'm going to drop a knife on your head.
Any folks listening who are under 21, I present to you Matt Arnold as the sole argument for why maybe you should slow down on that tea drinking.
Did you feel like you were cool and sophisticated because you were drinking daiquiri wine coolers while playing Smash Brothers? Did you feel like more of a grown-up?
A little bit because of some alcohol. I think I just felt pretty happy playing games with my friends.
Okay. All right. Penny Parker.
Okay.
And they're
What does she want to do in school? What is her goal?
Journalism.
Yeah, because the world's going crazy. Yeah, the world's going crazy.
Okay, fine. Hey, if we're going to just yes and journalism, it's like, okay, she wants to go see the world, which is also freaking out her dad.
Yeah.
It's like she wants to explore.
She wants to get embedded in the in foreign correspondences, and the dad's like, no.
She seeks to understand the truth, and he is a fanatical religious, morally strict person who doesn't care about the truth. He cares about the specific rules of that he's proven.
He cares about alternate facts and fake news.
Yeah, exactly. But he's like, no, you don't
need
to know.
Sounds like he's built a bit of a wall around himself. I'm Jimmy Kimmel, and these are the tame-ass jokes at the Oscars this year. Yes, so senior year, everyone's graduating. They're going to go to the anti-prom. What's her friend group like? What's her thing, right? Like
woke-ass millennials.
Is it the rest of the journalism kids? Like
woke-ass millennials is fun just because I don't know of a slasher that's just a bunch of woke-ass millennials.
Yes. Kids need to do bad stuff in these movies, though, right?
Yes, like
you
they
can't.
Do.
All right, what do they
Here
do?
Here would be her first sin, as I could see for her, is yes, she's supposed to go to this political activist thing, and she skips it to go to prom.
Okay.
She should die. That horrible person.
That incredible moral transgression.
Guys, I was not a bad kid. That's about the extent I can think of for what she did that was bad.
But let me ask you this. Do they need to do bad things, or can what they're doing just seem bad in the eyes of this incredibly prude,
I guess it doesn't have to be like an I Know What You Did Last Summer whatever, where it's like some sin coming back to haunt.
Yeah,
them.
I mean, like Cabin in the Woods and
there's a bunch of kids hanging out.
It's fundamentally about the injustice of the world around them, and that's what they're fighting against.
Yeah.
Man.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Oh my God.
This is out there.
Okay.
This is kind of throwing stuff out.
Yeah.
Bear with me. Because, yes, there is I don't know what. I don't want to write the fucking horny teenagers get murdered movie. Yeah. Like, I feel like I hate how anti-sex it is. I hate it feels like it's done a zillion times.
It's been done a zillion times.
Well, Kevin Woods broke it down.
Here's my idea. Your limo driver is like, what happened to Ferris Bueller after high school? Right? Like, he was the king of high school.
Okay.
And he was, his prom night was like, he was the stud of his prom, right? And that was the best night of his life. And he never got there again. Like, he didn't go to college or he flunked out of college. And he's just been bumming around town. And so he is, you do the kids are nerds. And this ultimate party boy limo drive. It's like, you remember that, what was that movie, like Nerve or what's the one with the guy from Anchorman where the couple makes them do the weird games, they get more and more crazy.
So to understand what you're saying is you're saying like limo scream, but that scream font is actually in balloon font. And it's an exclamation mark with like two balloons, and it's like a carnival.
I don't. To me, I'm just.
Let me finish.
No,
I
don't
think
so.
I think that's where you're getting. Is that where you're getting to?
What do you? I don't understand what you mean.
Oh, like he's gonna take them on a limo. Like he's gonna. Like he is like their Mary Poppins. Like
yeah, but like
slasher flick. And it's dark, a limo scream and like having a good time.
Yeah, but like a dark Mary Poppins. Oh, okay. Do you know what I mean? Like I wasn't saying it's just like he's a fun dude and they go on a wacky adventure together. But it is like you do. He is like this dark force that knows what each. But it's like he's pushing them. Right.
Yeah.
To atone for their sins or whatever. Right. You do like he knows that guy has got the needs the courage to go ask the girl. Like, he knows mm-hmm. that this guy's got to, you know, let it all go or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's these kids that are like, I don't know, like they're just square or whatever. And he's going to like, they're like, we're going to prom. He's like, no, we're not. And it's like training day. Do you know what I mean?
Is that really like more abusive and messed up?
I don't know. Like, no, but I'm not saying it's a good thing. You do that. This guy is fucked up. They have to overcome this guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. That's just in terms of
like,
another
if the message isn't like, well, clearly you need a drink. The message is like, nah. Like,
for a second, I thought you were zagging so hard that this is a bunch of losers who weren't invited to prom. And then like the coolest dude, Ferris Bueller, shows up. It's like, guys, we're going to have a good time. And by
here's,
the end of
everyone
it.
Everyone gets, here's a couple blunts for y'all. Here's a couple of Miller High Life.
By the end of it, they've had an incredible night, and he gets two kids laid. He got, you know, one girl, she's opened herself up as a lesbian and like has like finds her girlfriend. The other guy has pot for the first time and is like, yeah, now I'm gonna grow pot as a career.
It's legal now.
I think the thing that works instinctually about kind of these punishment is that it is what you're playing to is teenagers feel like they are rebelling against authority. They feel like they are being judged by the world, and like everything they do is either you're on that tough time period where you're just becoming an adult. So you're like not quite, it's like you're supposed to grow up, but then the things you're doing to grow up are judged and you know, so.
Here's my point though. I just don't understand why you always have to, I get the whole teen punishment thing, but isn't there like, you can change it to a survival thriller in that one location. My point is, like, did you see Buried? Like, it's not that, like, Ryan Reynolds, was it Ryan Reynolds in Buried? Mm-hmm. It's not that he was just a contractor. It's not that he had, like, some moral transgression that he's being, like, punished for. It's him surviving for the next 80 minutes, for a very stretched out 80 minutes, inside a coffin that's buried, you know? It's like, and it's all the little, the point-to-point of that movie is, you know, there's a scorpion in there, now he has to fight it. He needs to figure out his heir. He needs to figure out his, you know, it's like, it's a point by point, like, survival thing. So to me, it's like, yeah, I get that you can go on the thriller side, but like, I don't see it that much different than like good group of kids who are getting punished unfairly by the driver, and it's their you know, need to survive that, as opposed to
I think you can get, just in terms of structure, I think where you want to get to what I was saying before is like, I can more or less see how the first act, just very, you know, fucking shorthand, I can see how the first act works in terms of establishing your characters, setting up this girl, what she wants, you know, some, you know, spooky setup of her parents, you know, being overbearing and whatnot. And you're kind of setting up all the character relationship stuff, and they go out in this limo. And as the limo drives off, you know, you see like blood come out of the trunk, and the audience is like, that's a bad limo. And then you're having...
is that an oil leak or blood?
And then you play out the first, you know, they're running around. They're like, no, let's not go straight to prom. Which again, now with all the context of this, is his dad watching. Let's not go straight to prom. Let's go to this cool party. And it leads up to, you know, maybe they have drinks or whatever. And it leads up to the first kill, which is like the guy's drunk. He's hanging out the top of the roof. And the limo driver takes a weird turn. They're like, where are we going? And it's because he knows where a fucking short bridge is. And he's driving. And then all of a sudden the guy's like, oh, whoa, man. And he tries to go down and the window closes tight. And the guy's like, hey, slow down. And then the fucking... cuts the dude in half and everybody screams, and it could be quote unquote an accident, but it's not. And then all the doors are locked and they're like, holy shit, what's going on? And now they're stuck in.
What does the bad guy want?
He wants to kill all these kids.
So why doesn't he just kill them?
He wants to punish them. Yeah, he wants to torture them. He wants them to feel bad for the sins they've committed. He wants them to pay. He wants.
All right, but is this about he's angry that his daughter is having sex and he wants to show her that this way of life leads to like
he's doing like the
road is the road to ruin.
Yes, he's doing like the ultimate red asphalt movie for her life. Like, look, because it's not just like, look what happens. Like, I'm going to show you these. I'm going to torture and humiliate and ruin these kids who do bad things. This, you should not be doing this.
Okay.
What I was going to say is then structurally where you could get to eventually is you have a series of crimes, a few of them are left. And yes, maybe in order to mix it up, you could do that. He's driving them somewhere and maybe they get won over him. They stop the car, they skid it out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now you can change up the scenario. Like they're out in the middle of nowhere, or they're right outside his cabin where he was bringing them or whatever. And now
okay, sure,
trapped.
But I'm just trying to drill down into specifics. What is his plan? Like he's just going to eventually kill them over the course of a night? Like what's the trying to take them somewhere? Like what is he doing?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. Like what's Michael's plan in Halloween? He's murdering people.
I've never seen Halloween.
Oh, well, I mean, murders.
Yeah, I mean, like the bad guys
is very
he doesn't have them all in one room. If Jason Voorhees had all the kids in one room, he would just kill them all.
No,
like,
I mean,
that's
could,
my like
no,
no,
but he wants them to feel he wants them each to feel existential terror and what's scarier than being
tortured.
But
does he want them to feel something or does he want his daughter to feel something?
In making these kids
he wants this really real quick. He wants everyone to feel that. He wants everyone to be like, I'm next. I'm going to be tortured. And the thought of being tortured is even worse than even getting tortured. And then he wants to put that fear in his daughter.
And then he saves her.
And he saves her because then he can become the savior figure.
Yeah.
And then that will get her back on the straight and narrow.
Bear with me.
Yeah.
He doesn't think his daughter's friends are good enough for her.
Yeah.
So the series he is going to, this ride is going to be a series of tests and challenges on a that are moral, they're going to be ethical quandary, not ethical, but they are going to be, again, it's a shit test for your, for,
sure, sure.
It's like, do they drink? Do they smoke? Do they whatever?
Right.
And the punishment for failing any of these tests
is
death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. And then, like, once they've gone through the tests, he'll take them to prom. Whoever survives can go to prom with his daughter. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm just trying to find out something to pace your movie along. He's not just driving in circles waiting for them to open booby traps in the car. Do you know what I mean? Like once one kill happens, they're going to be very quick to realize that the fucking driver is a maniac.
Yeah, that
so
that
what
becomes,
is he pressuring them to do?
That becomes the struggle.
What is the struggle though? That's
they
what
can't
I'm saying.
They can't break out of limo. Like you don't need. If it's just like a series of tests, that gets redundant. It's like you want, like, Jason murders people. Like, the existential crisis is part of it. Like, the fact that you don't know what is, like, why does the alien eat people?
Yes, like, but, like, bear with me. In Alien, the alien could be anywhere in the ship, and they are looking around trying to find it. In Jason, they know there's a maniac out in the woods, and they're trying to hide from that.
Yeah.
What the fuck are they doing in this limo? Just banging on the windows? Like,
that's what I'm saying. So you mix it up, and that becomes about getting you from different scary set pieces that are terrifying. Like, yes, it should mix up, but I don't know if it's interesting to be like figuring out this guy's plan. He should be this terrifying existential crisis, this person who's going to stab you or kill you. And that should be the first part. It's like, the first question would be, why are we in here? Why isn't he just killing us right now? What is his plan? What is he trying to do? That's what the kids would be thinking. It's like, oh my God, he's going to take us out one by one. It's like, why is he doing that? He's a fucking psycho. They try to yell at him or whatever it is. And you do, and yes, I would do that. They are trying to find a way to stop the limo, try to find a way to contact people on the outside. And in doing so, they get trapped. I don't know.
I mean, you might have a few right away, right? Like you have the guy, the poison, plus the poisoned blunts, plus the guy at the sunroof, and the guy leans over and trying to get to the driver, and he gets cut in half. That might be like four or five people like right away. Then the question is like, right, like I see that as a flurry of activity. I think to Will's point, then what's your next sort of steps? And I think that's where the back and forth of it comes in. It doesn't necessarily need to be one where.
All right, how does a prom night work? You get picked up at the you get picked up at the house.
Mm-hmm.
You go to dinner. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you get taken to dinner, and then generally you just go to prom, and then you go to the after prom.
Yeah.
So, like, do you structure the night around that kind of thing?
I mean, you could stretch it out, but I mean, I feel like you could, right? Like, you could have it be like, oh, they go to dinner, and you get to see, you know, if there's something relevant there. But to me, it's like the first forbidden fruit of alcohol inside there will poison somebody, right? And then you can... I think
right.
So walk
off of that. So they're in the limo. They're on the way to the dinner. Somebody,
hey, there's booze in here.
Somebody starts drinking the booze, right? And then the daughter doesn't drink, but a couple, like one guy drinks. Like, God, you're such an asshole. And then he starts getting violently ill, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then he dies. Let's say
it's like, hey, you got pulled over.
And then they're like, you got to pull over to the driver, right? Yeah. So then what does the driver do? Does he pull over? Does he say, I've trapped you in my limo stream?
I think that would be more interesting in that case. So the first thing is they break into this liquor cabinet. I like that they break into it. Like, locked. Yeah, because we're too young. It's like, whatever. And they
I can
out
pick locks. I can Google how to pick locks right here.
He Googles it. He picks it up. He gets sick. He's like, oh my God, can you pull over? Yes, I would do that. They stop. you might even have them stop and let the guy go to the hospital, and they're freaking out because they just think it's a this is just a happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not thinking like the limo driver poisoned us.
Mm-hmm.
And the ER, he goes to the back of the thing, and the ER, and somehow he gets them all back in the limousine. He's like, hey, let's sit here or whatever it is. I'm not quite sure what happened.
Or if the kid's like, you know what, you guys just go on ahead. I'm sorry for ruining your night. And they're like, okay, I guess so. I guess, dang.
That sucks, bro.
That sucks.
I mean, essentially, your next question would be, are these kids shitty enough to ditch this kid to go to prom?
Yeah.
Right? Like the...
Yeah.
If he lets them out of the car and the kid is dead, the night is over. It's not like we're going to go... Our parents are going to go pick us up, right? The...
hey, yo, he would have wanted us to keep partying.
He would have wanted us... to slow dance to some Montel Jordan.
So, yeah, I mean, like, you could do... They get back in the car. He's like, oh, I'm going to take you back to your parents or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then there's more stuff in the car that kills someone else. Like,
I think he has to die in the car. You can't get them to the hospital.
No, I don't think the second he lets them out of the car, that movie just
deflation.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a
Or I buy that he would say he is driving them to the hospital.
Does the guy have a limousine company? Multiple limousines.
Sure.
And are they gathering the perfect prom, and there's more people out there grabbing kids, and now they all come to this central limousine HQ, and they bring all their kidnapped kids, and they fucking
make them fight to the death.
Yeah, or you know, they make them have a prom, and then you have this like final, you have like this scene of all these kidnapped kids who have had half their friends dead in this gymnasium with a bunch of creepy old guys dressed like limousine drivers, like have a good prom dance, like enjoy it.
Dance
and like
for
we
us.
Gotta get the fuck out of here. I'm like this is creepy. This is like over like a prom of
purity. It's like it's the purest of kids.
It's all the kids who have survived the limousine. The test, the one who's the most pure. It's like this is a safe prom for the pure kids, the ones who deserve it. And it's this fucking cult type.
You could do
and
it.
They
like
also realize that all these other limousines did the same thing throughout the city.
You could do a thing where it's like the parents are all like, our kids are all corrupted. We must bring them. We must find the parents. Yeah,
it's the Parent Teacher Association.
Yeah, the Parent Teacher Association. Yeah. It's this like fucking city who's doing a purge of all their
wild kids, Tide Pod chugging kids. They're like, we got to get rid. The only way this generation is doomed. This generation is doomed. The only way to save them is to save them from themselves.
You have a moment where one kid walked to prom. And there's nobody at prom because, yes, this is like one of those small town weird. It's like this entire town has done this.
It's a calling.
It's a calling.
The PTA.
Little Children of the Corn No, that's not Children of the Corn.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. All right. That pops. That's popping for me.
Because then it could be definitely the final is like it is these kids rebelling and just murdering all the parents and teachers and burning down the town.
You could you could also do because you also get the kids that submit to the parents.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Fuck that shitty kid for going along with this.
In Miss, like the girl, the woman in Miss who's like, this is good, this is happening, this is what God wanted. You're like, oh my God, she's the craziest of them all.
Yeah, well then it's also you do like the boy who comes up to our heroine is like, I am as pure as you are, we are destined to be together. And she's like, hard pass, bro.
Yeah. He's like, what? You don't like me, but we're perfect for each other. We're both here.
Yeah, what's wrong?
And it cuts to Matt and his three friends and be like, I wonder how prom's going, right? Whatever. let's just continue playing video games. And that's the moral. It's like, continue to play video games, kids. Yeah, I buy that. So it's like a town. It's like it's like your classic adults versus kids. There's been a couple movies that have done that. Adults versus kids thing where it's like the adults go crazy and try and kill all their kids. But this one's kind of fun in the idea of like, oh, and they only play their jams. Like, it's none of your rap music.
Oh, yeah.
Play this Kendrick Lamar. It is only the pure sounds of the Beach
80s
Boys,
and 90s.
Of the 80s and the 90s and the Beatles. And you know what I mean? Like, and it's like the 12 Beach inches.
Boys. I hate to break it to you, Freddie, that their parents are Gen Xers, not Gen
That's
baby
true.
Boomers.
You're right. Yeah.
All these kids that just watched all their friends die in these limousines in horrific ways, dancing, like, you know, with the Holy Spirit space between them Beach Boys with like a bunch of like murderous people.
Wouldn't it
people
be nice?
Is like a pretty bizarre.
I love the idea of one limo that got there and it's like the squarest kids in school and they don't realize that anything was even wrong.
Oh my God.
They're just like, what are you, people got killed? We just rode to the, like.
We heard what happened in the other limousines. Maybe that'll teach them to be better. Of course, anybody that made it through is like the fucking worst. I do like this. This is very, going to a Catholic school, this is like, this feels very like apocalypse, like Christ has come down and has split the herd into into sinners and saints. This twisted town has decided to essentially do
that's the blood. The mascot for the school is the saints.
Ooh, oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Will Campos with them. The little details that just chef kisses all over. A
couple more kill ideas just to throw these out
nice.
There.
Nice.
Structure this. Someone doesn't wear their seatbelt. Mm-hmm. Classic.
Classic.
Just enough said, right?
I mean, that's just common sense.
Slams the brakes. Yeah. Boom, broken neck. Do you do like I'm trying to think like what the negation of the negation is for a team, to borrow a Robert McKee term. Like that darkest, dark moment, right? And like this seems like the thing that your main character would maybe do. And I feel like it would be one of them snitching to the driver on another kid to survive.
Yo.
Do you know what I mean? Like the one of them narking to on the like the other best. Like again, there's two characters left, right? Yeah. Or like three characters left. And it's her and her boyfriend and their best friend, right? And the best friend is like begging the dad not to kill her, and like, you know, like the she narks that the other two are having sex or something like that, and then the guy kills the boyfriend, and then as the two girls go to prom,
here's what I think could be just basic structure is you do this main girl, Penny Parker, she's a lesbian. And she's going, her and the girl that she likes have a fight, and maybe it's about that they don't know how to be together as a couple to go to prom or whatever, but they're not going in the same limousine. She's going out with a bunch of other friends, so they're not in the same limousine, and she's having a tough night. When she, all the stuff happens, everybody starts
dying. Hasn't told her parents.
Yes.
She hasn't come out to her parents, so she's going with a boy, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
She's struggling with, she's like, hiding. Her girlfriend is like, is out, right? And is like kind of getting impatient. Not impatient, but it's kind of frustrated with the situation, right?
Or she could be out. Bear with me, because if she is out, then she's also smart enough to hide it once she realizes what's happening in the limousines, because what you do is, when they get to the school and she realizes what's happened, which is all these kids went through the limousine and they're all counting what classmates died. Of course, the first thing she's doing is like, where is she? Where's this girl I love, right? And they find her and she also survived. And now the two of them are going to rebel. Like the two of them together, like, this is fucked up. We got to take these people.
And you
have the dad come up and be like, I knew you were a good girl, like deep down, you know, all this thing. Like, I think there's a boy here for you that you'll be happy with or whatever. And she's like, we're going to fucking kill. We're fucking burning this town down.
Okay, this is pretty out there. I'm just going to save space on this podcast that people listen to. You do, the parents are like, because they're so worried about their kids having sex and like, having the wrong partner, like they can't pick who their kid is going to fall in love with. So again, they do this culling, right?
Yeah.
And then they're going to pair the boys and girls off.
That's good.
And then they're going to watch them all lose their virginity.
That's all fucked up shit. Yeah.
Like it's like they're going to like, you get a rose and like they're going to match everyone. Like it's like this whole matchmaking thing. And then like they each get chaperoned into a room to consummate their relationship. A parent watches.
Well, marriage. They're getting married.
Yeah, they're getting married.
No,
yeah. They're getting married.
Wait, bear with me. Here's why I think they could be married. This is what I love about this. Is like their response is like, look, they're also modern adults. They're like, we can't stop our kids from having sex. So what's the best thing? What do you do if you're an adult
and you can't stop them?
You make it cool. And they're like, here's how sex. Fine, we know we can't stop you from having sex. So here's how it goes down. Every year on prom night, we kill everybody who's not a good person, and then you go and you have sex with the boy we choose in front of your parents, and that is how you have teen sex. And this is how this town's going to be run from now on. And the kids are like, "This is insane. We clearly need to kill our parents and this entire town and burn this place down.
And get out of here.
But yes, or yes, it's arranged weddings.
It's just this is a weird arrangement. Yeah, because it's like, the world is spun out of control. And women entering the workplace, they're not even getting married. Like, what about our grandkids? Like, we're not going to be able to continue. This is for the good of the human race. So we need to we know better.
Oh, and you do.
We
this
need
has
to
been
make these decisions.
This has been going on for generations in the town.
This is just
like,
how
this isn't
work
even. This is just how it works.
Well, and they always get away with it because they're like, those teens are always too drunk on prom night, getting in car crashes. Like, they cover up every single murder. It's just a wild prom night. This one town's known for its wild prom nights.
Okay, let's blast through this thing. We're running out of time.
3 minutes.
Okay, so here is my attempt at a structure to just go through. So we start with our main character, Penny Parker, and it's prom night in every town USA, and she's having a fight with her girlfriend because she's going with her best friend from a male friend from childhood, yeah. Right? And they're like going, it's another guy at the newspaper.
She doesn't want to tell her parents that she's
a lesbian. And she doesn't want to come out to them because they're super strict and they're, you know, kind of weird, and she doesn't think they'd be cool with it. So. And then, so that's your kind of tension at the beginning. But she's going to see her girlfriend at prom, and they're going to go sneak off together and go have an awesome night. There's a concert two towns over, right, that they're going to go to.
You even find out right before she gets in the limousine, one of her friends tells her, like, hey, do you know that you're what's a girl's name? Your girlfriend is going with another girl.
Yeah, there's another girl in the other part in the other car. And she's freaking out about it. Yeah. Okay, so I like that.
She's got his anxiety.
Okay, so now she's in the car.
Yeah.
And she just wants to get to prom. She doesn't want to stop for any goofy adventures. Yeah. She just wants to go see her girlfriend. Right. Yeah. She's trying to keep her head down. And then she's in this car with a bunch of goofy yahoos from the journalist, you know,
yearbook club.
The yearbook club. Yeah. Yeah. And so. You do, okay, so at some point people start, okay, so what, end of act one is probably what, the first kid gets alcohol poisoning or whatever,
they take
right?
The first choice is, should we go to prom? And the guy goes to the limo driver and stops, like, hey, man, can you make a detour for us? And this is the beginning of their sins. They they want to stop by this cool college party that they heard about to get some drinking done before they get to prom.
Yeah.
And this is how it all starts. Okay. And then, yes, I would do, because of that choice that they've made, right, you do that shot where all of a sudden, like, you go inside the car and you see the locking mechanisms going, and you realize, like, oh shit, the limo driver is not happy about this.
Okay, so.
And murders start happening.
Okay, so yes, the first transgression is they're going to go stop at this pre-party first, right? And then you even do the girl goes along with it because she hears that her girlfriend is going to go to this party beforehand, so she wants to talk to her just to make sure everything's okay, right? So she goes along with it. They all vote to, you know, we're going to do everything by, you know, voting around here, you know.
Yeah.
It's the speech and debate club.
Teens are in a voting. Speech and debate club is perfect, by the way.
It's the Model UN club.
Model UN. They all, like, Model UN is actually a really good running gag because they each are a different country.
Do we have a quorum?
Yeah, we have a quorum. So you do, okay, so yes, they're going to go to this other, so she finds out that her girlfriend's going to be at this party, maybe with someone else. She's like, well, is she going to hook up with her? Like, she's freaking out. So they decide to go on this detour. Big mistake.
Yeah.
On the way to the party, someone's like, let's fucking pregame, bro. And they get into that booze, right?
Yep.
They get to the party, I even feel like. Mm-hmm. And you do, and again, like, they're starting to realize stuff is weird in the limo. And you do, like, they get to this party. She's trying to find her girlfriend. You know, the limo driver is just waiting outside, you know, but maybe this is, you know, he picks off one of the kids when they go out to take a leak or smoke a blunt.
Yeah.
The kid who drank the alcohol starts vomiting like crazy and starts going into, like, a fucking, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the first nervous thing is the kids are like, hey, where is Bob? We left him. And the limo driver's like, sorry guys, we gotta go now, and close the door. It's like, what? Bob's like, whatever, man, I guess he's partying, he found a girl or something. And they drive off, and it's like, okay, I guess Bob's gone. And
at some point my point is, what is your turn where they're like, okay, we're trapped in a limousine with a psychotic madman?
Yes, I would, whatever it is, I like the kill. To me, you do the guys, they're drunk now because they're at the party, and one guy goes out the head roof and the roof and is celebrating, and then he gets purposely trapped in there. The guy drives through a bridge and his torso falls into the limousine.
Yeah.
And everybody starts screaming, and this car doesn't slow down or stop. And they're like, what the fuck's going on? They start screaming at him. He rolls up the window, and then he starts torturing them.
Yeah.
We don't have time to come up with all the kills that he performs.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
he kills everybody but our main character. For the amount of time we have, he kills everybody but her.
And this is essentially your middle point. I would keep someone else from the limo.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I like that she's the one who survives this test, and what is her reward? Her reward is prom. But this prom is not like any other prom. They open the door. She's fucking bloodied and miserable. And then you have this surreal moment where they're like, oh, hey, honey, here's your ticket and name tag. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? She comes out, and there's 40 other kids standing around
similarly,
looking terrified at prom night, all of them with blood and stuff on their hands also. And they're like, you survived? And then sees her girlfriend. Yeah, first she's Spanish. She sees her girlfriend. And then the principal says, welcome, kids. Like, you survived the culling. All of you are wonderful boys and girls who we are happy to have as part of this community. Now, everybody, let's dance. And then the music goes, and you're like, what the fuck? You're like, this is surreal as shit. And all her friends just died.
It's absolutely a live band playing just the greatest hits from the 70s and 80s.
And she tries to leave. Yeah, it's the classic. She tries to leave at one point. They're like, I'm sorry, honey, you can't leave. And they're whatever. This is where we lose. I mean, you figure out this big cult. It's this whole thing. It's this thing that's been going on for a long time. Whatever it is, and she decides with her girlfriend to fucking start the revolt. She gets a few kids. I like that some of the kids are snitches that totally believe in this. this and knew it was happening, and we're the fifth generation of people who have made it through the Coaling or whatever. And she takes them down.
Here's what I would do.
Yeah.
Her friend, who is the beard, that she, not beard, the reverse beard, her friend that she's going with as a cover, right? Mm-hmm. He's in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to be with her. Mm-hmm. Like, he's creepy Gamergate,
classic,
toxic masculinity thing, right?
Classic,
like,
nice guy.
Yeah, shoulder to nice guy's TM. So you do, he's been in on it the whole time. And then you would do, for her, I think her low point right before your sort of midpoint or whatever, she survives by snitching on her friend.
Mm-hmm.
She says something to get out of getting killed, right? She's like, she tattles on someone else, and then so you bring her at this low point. Again, her whole thing is she doesn't stand up to authority.
Yeah, yeah.
It's even your theme at the beginning is her journalism professor is like, a good journalist questions authority, and a good journalist stands up to people and stands up for what's right. And she's scared of doing that. She's scared of authority, ultimately. So she survives. She gets to this incredibly messed up prom. She finds out that her best friend knew what was going on and, like, has been holding on to this rose for her. And, like, you know, like, he thinks they're going to get paired, and it's so great. And she's like, what
Finally be able to get out of the friend zone with the help of all the parents.
Yeah. So.
And in the end, she has a chance to kill her dad or whatever, and she doesn't kill them because she grabs a bunch of evidence and she goes, no, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to tell everybody what you've done. And then she's going to go off and write this big article about this crazy small town where they kill all their kids.
She and her girlfriend escape.
And they're going to make the news or whatever.
She stays up to her parents. Yeah. And yes, she and her girlfriend call an Uber to get out of there. And then, what's that? Oh, no.
What's that? Oh, no. It's a 3-star Uber driver. Oh, no. No cell phone
three
charging.
3 stars.
Who's that? Oh, no. It's who's like a cool CNN person? Wolf Blitzer. And they're like, thanks. Well, Wolf Blitzer and the CNN commandos show up at the end to save them.
Wolf Blitzer, why are you doing driving Uber? Just haven't found any good stories recently. You wouldn't have any, do you? I'm just kidding. You're just two high school girls. And they go, oh, and then that's the end of the movie.
Okay. Limo Scream. There it is. When we come back, the pitch of Limo Scream.
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know that it's somebody who does amazing work, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that.
Is that possible?
That's
that true?
That's possible, yeah.
Should I check with your therapist?
No, but I will be.
Who are you, dude? You all over the place. I got a lot of respect for you, man. That's dope.
Bullseye. Creators you know. Creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
We're back here at Story Break, and Freddie Wong is going to be pitching this incredible movie to one of our favorite boys in Hollywood, Jason Blumhouse.
Welcome once again to my dark domain, Story
thanks,
Boys.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me back.
Enter my labyrinth of woe if you dare.
Okay.
Ride with me on the death escalator, the elevator, and tell me your troubling tale.
All right, the name of the movie is called Limo Scream.
Limo Scream, I like it. How delightful.
It's a pun off of limousine. A group of teenagers on prom night get into a limousine, but little do they know, this limousine is a one-way ride, not to prom, but to hell.
But limo do they know.
A lot of good, gory deaths in it, but in the end, it is basically Flashdance meets...
Horror movies.
Yes, it's a scary version of Flashdance.
Flashdance.
It turns out that the parents in this town are so concerned with the next generation that they are killing off all the impure teenagers in the limousines, all going to prom. They bring them all to a fucked up, weird purity prom where they're pairing them off and making sure that their kids are all right. But it turns out the kids aren't all right, and our main character and her girlfriend burn down the town and escape, or maybe they have a journalistic scoop and they meet Wolf Blitzer and the CNN guys. Anyway, that's Limo
Werewolf Scream. Blitzer and his demon car from hell. Freddie Wong, I deem your pitch most good, but answer me one question or you shall be sent to the fiery pits of torment and lurk beneath Blumhouse Pictures. What is the tagline of Limo Scream 2?
Limo Scream 2, Ride Like Hell.
C+, I give it.
Oh, do you have a better one? Matt, give me a tagline.
Limo Scream 2, Oil Check.
Oil Check?
I was thinking like Limo Scream 2, double wide, like because it's a double limo, a stretch limo.
Limo Scream 2, are those emergency lights on purpose?
I know about the sequels, but...
Perhaps you can ask your Twitter following...
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Twitter. What do you think? The tag.
All right, anyway, okay, anyway. Bye, Mr. Blumhouse.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to another wild, rocking episode of Story Break. Thank you to Penny, who submitted her name to us via Twitter, and that's us at RJ Story Break. Always looking out for names. RJ Story Break is also where we get the raddest folks of all time making rad posters for these dumb movies that we come up with. What were some of the highlights from this week,
Will? Oh, man, so many good ones. Our Alistair Brown, our boy Ryan Brown, just from downtown Ryan Brown with a awesome Stardew Valley Monster Hunter poster. Just really epic work. I love the hero holding a rake and a badass blade. another just tripped out insane poster from Albino Penguin, our cool friend Albino Penguin, Monster Valley with just this awesome giant blue sloth. It's just a trip of a poster. We will be retweeting all of these, of course, so go check them out. Someone has started keeping track of all the times we say bear with me, which I'm very excited for.
That's
so
great.
We're thinking that could be a good shirt. It's just us and then a bear in here. It's like bear with me.
So thanks to Low Frequency Catnip at Hello Droogie for keeping track of our bear with me's and bearing with us every time we do this podcast.
So until next week, folks, keep
on
doing
all
your
best
things.
Story Break.
Hi, everybody. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Me and 3,000 of your closest friends just found your next podcast obsession.
Cereal! Okay, but like the second best podcast.
99% Invisible. Oh, just listen to My Brother and Me on MaximumFun.org. There you go.
Perfect.
Thank you.